Hey guys, welcome to the Hawk Talks Arts and Entertainment Podcast, the first of 2013. I'm Nat Alder.
I'm Max Friedman.
I'm Gabe Basile, and today we have a very special guest with us. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi everybody, it's Mr. Bacon here with you on the podcast. I've really been looking forward to this, so thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course. Anytime. So this is just going to be a jam-packed Mr. Bacon spectacular, because it's not every day we get Mr. Bacon on our podcast. So we're just going to go ahead and just ask you, Mr. Bacon, what are your five favorite movies? And if you could list them, I don't know if you have them in order or not, but if you could just talk a little bit about each one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd be happy to. I don't have them in any particular order, so I'll just start right in. One movie I'm going to have us discuss is The Burbs. Have you ever seen a movie called The Burbs?
With Tom Hanks.
Very good. Listen, The Burbs is my favorite movie because I love how you take a regular day and you look and it just goes haywire. I think it's a classic. If you haven't watched The Burbs, I strongly encourage you to watch it. It's hilarious.
It's kind of a horror comedy too, right?
Well, it's about this guy. It's about just the burbs, you know, suburbia, where everything is normal all the time. I mean, almost like painfully normal, and everybody. And then this crazy neighbor moves in, and the guy becomes a little bit obsessed. He takes the week off from work, and he just starts watching him out his window, and he gets more and more obsessed, and you know, he's trying to figure out what's going on over there. And so the whole movie, you're trying to figure out: are these just a little bit eccentric people that don't fit in the suburbia, or are they really up to something over there? And so that's the movie. And anyway, it's hilarious, and I love it.
That's good. Great.
Oh, I'm ready for number two.
Yeah.
Number two is, I wrote down the movie Hoosiers, and this could have been any number of, like, kind of underdog-themed sports movie, like Rocky or, you know, in that genre, because I can't deny that, you know, the big part of me that loves sports and that has always maybe felt a little bit like an underdog. You know, I love it when the underdog wins. And despite, even though I can't control it, it's an emotional response that connects with me. I always cry. I can't help it. I cry at the end of Hoosiers. I cry in Rocky. I cry in Rudy. You know, some of these sports-themed movies where the underdog prevails are, for me, strike a chord. So I love the movie Hoosiers. Okay? Next, I put down Forrest Gump. I like the movie Forrest Gump because I like how it takes, you know, it goes through the different periods of history, and then it's this story, but it's playing out in history too. So that was one.
Classic.
I like the movie, the one that you might not have seen. There's the next two are a little more obscure, one more obscure than the next, but this one is called Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. It's a Western starring Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's in the movie. He's actually not really starring, but he plays a role in the movie. And it's the story of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, who are these... it's a sheriff, Pat Garrett, and Billy the Kid is an outlaw. And it's a Western, basically. But it's really well done, and it's... Bob Dylan wrote the soundtrack for Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid, and he's got an album by that title. And if you're at all into Westerns, you should try to see if you can find, I don't know where exactly you find it these days, but if you can find Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid, and listen to the soundtrack that goes along with it.
What decade is that movie?
70s, probably. I think it would be probably mid to late 70s would be my guess, I think. Possibly early 80s. No. Oh, Bob Dylan is not one of the stars. He's like this kind of... he plays a smaller kind of background role in the movie. Okay. He's just this guy.
But to you, he's the star.
But to me, well, yeah. And, you know, because it's funny to hear Bob Dylan talk. You don't... Bob Dylan, you know, he doesn't always... when he's in a role where he's talking, I like that because usually he's singing, so you get to watch him trying to act. So.
Did you ever see the movie I'm Not There?
Absolutely. Yes, I saw that. Yeah, it was okay. Is this the one where, like, different people played Bob Dylan? Yeah, I liked it okay. I liked it all right. Bob Dylan's been in a number of other movies, too. He's been in one called... this is another one I could have had on my list. It's called The Usuals, and it's a weird... just about kind of a washed-up rock star that gets... that kind of tries to make another run at being famous. But, I mean, these are pretty obscure movies, but I would recommend The Usuals. He's in one called Masked and Anonymous, which is almost like I don't know if I can say this on high school radio, but it's kind of like an acid flashback type movie. It's a very strange movie. Very strange. But it's called Masked and Anonymous. And Bob Dylan is the actor there too, and Bob Dylan is my hero, so I watch it and I like it. But Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid is a quality movie. It's good. And the soundtrack for it, I just think is outstanding. You might know the song Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
Knocking on Heaven's Door, it's been remade, obviously, by tons and tons of people. But that's a Bob Dylan song that was originally on the soundtrack for Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid. Yeah, Knocking on Heaven's Door. It's like he's dying, you know, and he gets shot in the Western. Mm-hmm. So that's where that movie comes from.
Wow.
That song comes from, excuse me. So my final one is the one that I'm sure you won't have heard of. And I think, though, that if you... I wonder if, like, you YouTube it, you could get it to come up. It won't be quite the same on a computer screen as it was on a crackly film, okay, in an elementary school library, right, where little Mr. Bacon sat and watched the film Hannah and the Dog Ghost. Hannah and the Dog Ghost is an African-American folk tale type. We used to watch it in February for Black History Month when I was in school as a kid, and it became like a cult film among all my friends because it is, without question, the creepiest, the most terrifying half-hour little film you will ever see. And we were watching it in elementary school. It completely freaked us out. I mean, for years of my childhood, I could hardly walk home from, like past, like, seven houses from Lemmy School to my house because there was this little area that I thought looked a little bit like Fiddleman Country. The Fiddleman was the character. He's like the devil, basically. But he took the form of this fiddler, and he was this gruesome... I mean, to tell you, just Google it. See if you can find Hannah and the Dog Ghost. This guy, he's like a skeleton face type guy that with dreadlocks and a top hat and a tuxedo with long coattails. And he dances around playing this god-awful, haunting tune on a fiddle. And they call him the Fiddle Man. And he's the bad guy, basically, in this. He like kidnaps this lady's child, and the lady sets off on this journey to try to go find the Fiddle Man's house. And it was an African American folktale. She showed it to us, and we just became obsessed. So every year we beg her, you know, please check it, please, you know, we want the Fiddle Man. And anyway, so finally, one of my buddies later in life, he found like a DVD of it, and so I own the DVD of it, and it's like, I'm not kidding you. It's also possible that this was just, you know, this is just me. But I found it terrifying. I recommend it to you. Hannah and the Dog Ghost. Well, the Fiddle Man.
You heard it here first, folks.
Terrifying creature.
So was there any movie that came out in 2012 that you saw in the theater or that stuck out at you?
One of the things, gentlemen, that's going to happen to you is you're at some point, you might have children. And when you have children, I have three of them. And, you know, I find that you see a lot fewer movies, maybe, than you want. So I would have to be hard for me. What was the last movie that I saw? I saw Lincoln. We did go to Lincoln. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Obviously, there's parts of it that were great. I'm not afraid to say that I wasn't as totally enamored with it as, like, everybody seems to be. I thought it was good. But for me, I found the story to be, in hindsight, I shouldn't have been expecting like a twist in the plot or something, because what are you going to do? But on the other, it was like, you know, they tried very hard and they used dramatic elements and they did a good job, I guess, of making it seem like a big climax was coming. But you know what's going to come. You know what's going to happen. And
right.
I just, for me, it just didn't quite, I don't know. It was good. I don't know. I think I would stop short of saying it was great. It was very, very solid. And Abe did a great job. The actor did a great job, mm-hmm. I think, as Abe. But I didn't totally love it.
Are you following the awards circuit at all?
No, I don't really know about that. I don't know much about it.
Because Lincoln was nominated for 11 Oscars.
See, it strikes you as the type of it'll win critical acclaim. I'm sure he'll win, all that. I feel like everybody's afraid to criticize it because they say, I'm not criticizing it. It's a good, it was solid. I just didn't
think it was floored as much as everybody else did.
I like the drama. I like the twists. I want to be surprised and entertained and caught off guard. And here I just...
Seems like the Academy likes just like a very solid movie like that.
Right.
Where it's just
basic. I think that is a pretty safe choice for Best Picture.
Right.
I mean, who's going to argue that?
It's safe.
Have you seen Django Unchained?
No, I'd like to see that. You know, I follow on Twitter and I heard a lot about this. Is it good? Is it Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah. I loved it a lot. It's got a lot of twists and turns. It's fun.
Have you seen seen his movie that was his first big hit movie was Pulp Fiction. Yeah. I'm sure you all know about mm-hmm. that. So that was when I was a younger guy that came out, so I know about Quentin Tarantino a little mm-hmm. bit. But I'd like to see that. What is it called again?
Django Unchained.
Unchained. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll have to see this one.
Don't take your kids to see it, though.
No, I won't. No. I saw The Hobbit. I took the boys to see The Hobbit. Yeah. And I was embarrassed that I didn't know that this was a multi-part deal, that it was just going to cut off on me. So I kept wondering partway through, I was like, what the heck? They better pick it up here. Yeah. They better pick it up. Is there not even, you know? But then sure enough, it just ends. And that was... So I don't know. I didn't know that was coming, and then I hate it when that happens. So yeah. I was disappointed there.
Three movies.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about your five favorite albums. Really.
Okay. Well, it's no secret. I've already alluded to it that I'm a fan of Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan is special to me because... I just think he's the most brilliant person. And for some reason, I feel like I've got a kindred spirit in Bob Dylan. I feel like things that he says in his songs, I relate to, and it speaks to me. And I just feel like, and I've got this vision of heaven, gentlemen, that to me, heaven would be a place where all day, every day, I'm going to be able to play pickup basketball in a game that would involve guys like Michael Jordan. And what's going to be happening is that I'm going to do well. I mean, it's going to be like I'll fit in, and somehow good things are going to happen. And like, that's during the day. And then at night, we're going to be around the campfire. That's going to be if things don't turn out so well. I had South at my death. At night, I will be around a campfire with all my good friends and Bob Dylan, just playing his guitars, and that to me would be my version of heaven. And I think I just love Bob Dylan, and I really look up to him. I've seen him in concert about 15 times. I've shaken his hand in New Orleans, Louisiana, when I was in the French Quarter and got to sit in the front row, stand in the front row at the House of Blues, a small venue in New Orleans, and reached up and shook his hand. So he's a hero to me. I've got three sons. My third son, I finally talked my wife. It took me three, but by number three, she broke down, and we named him Robert Dylan Bacon. So wow. Bob Dylan Bacon. So anyway.
Is he going to resent you?
That's possible. Among many other reasons, I'm sure. So Bob Dylan is my hero, and if you're not into Bob Dylan yet, City High, I think that you should check him out. I'm going to tell you right now, my friend Matt Fisher was into Bob Dylan way sooner than I was, and I always kind of held out and didn't, but like freshman, sophomore year at City High, my friend Matt Fisher was big into Bob Dylan, and then finally he just started, you know, I kind of got the intro Bob Dylan album and then just kept it coming, and now I have very, very great knowledge of Bob Dylan and his work, and so it'd be difficult for me to pick certain ones. I suppose if I had to, I've always liked the Bob Dylan album called Blood on the Tracks, which is a great one. I like the album Blonde on Blonde. I like a lot of Bob Dylan's more recent stuff where his voice is like so incredibly crackly that you can, I just love the way his voice sounds, even though most people wouldn't, but I just do. I like a live album by Bob Dylan and his band called Before the Flood. That's a two-disc set that is awesome. Mm-hmm. I also like the Grateful Dead. I saw the Grateful Dead in concert several times. When I was in college, my friends and I, three friends, we bought a school bus. And we bought a school bus from a place in Waterloo for $2,000, $500 each.
Wow.
And
wow.
We cut the seats out of the school bus, and we painted it.
Like a full school bus?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it turns out you can't park one on the street. As it turns out, you're not allowed to do that. Apparently you have to pay to put it in some type of storage venue. But anyway, so we had a school bus, and we took it to a Grateful Dead concert in Chicago at Soldier Field. And so I have a lot of great memories. And so Grateful Dead is another group that I love. And my favorite Grateful Dead album is one called Reckoning. That's a live album. Anyway, it's a good one.
The bus,
we eventually, after a visit by the Iowa City Police Department, explained to us that you are not able to park this bus there. We obtained a rental property downtown. We rented a place, a house on Gilbert Street downtown, right across from John's Grocery, and we found out that we picked it because we felt if we parked it at an angle, we could actually fit it in the backyard. So we stuck it back there for a while, and what would happen, there was no locks on the door, really, so every morning, the homeless guys in Iowa City, we had put like three couches on it, And the homeless guys in town, they would go and they'd sleep on the bus. And so in the morning, we'd have to get up and open and say, okay, guys, come on, let's go, you know. And they'd all file out. And they'd go out. So it sat there for a while. And then finally we moved again, and there was just no place to put it. So we had to put it in a place called the RV Clinic in Coralville. And we were not the most responsible guys at the time, and we got a little behind on our payments. And eventually we were told, you know, you got to get it out of here immediately, or you know, we're going to take it from you. And at that point, to get it like out of Hawk, because we owed them so much money, we sold it to for scrap metal to this guy that had a junkyard. And he paid the bill to get it out of the RV clinic, and he took it off our hands, and that was the end of the bus.
Well,
yep.
Fun times.
So what else do you have on that list?
I think that was all I wrote down. But I, you know,
you're not a Blondie fan.
No,
Lady Gaga.
I like that song, Bad Romance.
That's good. That's pretty good.
That's the only one I know, but I like that.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. I don't know. What are your favorite albums or artists?
I do like older bands. Like, yeah. I do love Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of Led Zeppelin.
Uh huh.
So I love them. Just older music. The Beatles is definitely a classic one.
You ever listen to Abbey Road? That's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know what? The Beatles. Absolutely. I tell you what, I get a little annoyed. The Beatles, sometimes they grate on me just a little bit, believe it or not. I like them, but there are sometimes I don't like them. But the one that I do love is Abbey Road, and if you play the stretch on Abbey Road by the Beatles, I'm going to pull it up here on my iPad that says, I like to start Abbey Road with number 9, which is You Never Give Me Your Money, mm-hmm. and then it goes through, well, here it goes now.
Yeah.
You hear that? See, it starts right there, and then the stretch. How do you pause it?
It goes all the way through, yeah.
The stretch all the way through. All the way through. Sun King, me and Mr. Mustard, Polythene Pam, she came in through the bathroom window. This one. All the way into what I think is the climax of this one, that Golden Slumbers, which
yeah.
I love. And that's a beautiful song that I love. I love to hear that one. This one here. I don't know if the radio picks that up, but that's a good one. And then, so that's a good one. I like the Abbey Road.
Do you ever listen to David Bowie?
No. He always creeped me out. I think he had bad teeth.
Once I saw the Labyrinth, so
scary, scary looking guy.
Yeah, he was
Beastie Boys.
Yeah, you know, I have, believe it or not, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, I have the Beastie Boys on my iPad here. See, from another era, days gone by. I will show you which one I have. I have the Beastie Boys called Check Your Head and Paul's Boutique.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Do you know Paul's Boutique?
I've heard of it.
It's a Beastie Boys album, and anyway, it's good. You know, there's a Beastie Boys. The Beastie Boys give a couple indications that they too are Bob Dylan fans, because there's one line that says "just chilling" like Bob Dylan,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another one where they break in and it plays a snippet of a Bob Dylan song where he says, "I'm going back to New York City. I do believe I've had enough." And that's a little snippet, and that's embedded in a Beastie Boys.
They also sampled the Zeppelin song too.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't realize. All right.
Well, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate it,
fellas. I enjoyed it.
It was great.
Way
sure
to go.
Had a great time. People will
keep up the good work. Keep
choices.
Well, naturally, keep up the good work, and you know, go Little Hawks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Woo.
Signing off.